so much. That takes a lot of practice and effort, so we appreciate that, folks, very, very much. Okay, I'm going upstairs and going to take a nap. And while you guys have service down here, you think I'm preaching up now? I'm going to go sleep somewhere. But anyway, no, I'm going upstairs to speak to the Spanish. And Ryan, you've got the song. Then it's done. Brother Ben's coming. So adios, amigos.
Time measured out my days, life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I look hard at this world to learn how heaven could be gained. Just to end where I began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it not for grace, I could tell you where I'd be. Wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me, I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. So here is all my praise, expressed with all my heart, offered to the friend who took my place and ran the course I couldn't even start. And when he saw in full just how much his love would cost, he still went the final mile between me and heaven, so I would not be lost. Were it not for grace, I could tell you where I'd be. Wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me, I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace, I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. Forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace.
Amen. Well, it's good to be back and here at Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais. We're certainly glad to be here again for one final Sunday service. I was just thinking, sitting up here, how much this church means to me and how much it has come to mean to my wife. I thank all of you for everything that you do and have done for the Lord. It's hard to put into words what you people and what this place means to us. And we every year I try to put together a little PowerPoint or video or something at the end of our watch night service. Is a big deal in Madagascar. Most people stay all night long. They stay till 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. Some of them just choose to stay. Some of them can't leave because they take a bus to the church at 8 o'clock or so, or 7, and then the buses don't run till 4 or 5 the next morning. So if they had to go by bus, they got to stay there. So, but a lot of them stay. I usually end up going home about 2 or 3 in the morning. But so you have a good time, and so I try to put a video together or something together for our church of everything that happened, all the main things the last year. And so this video I showed at our church at our 2017 Wash Night. And I just want to hope you enjoy it. It's not professional. I showed it to my family and dad thought the church might want to see it. And I just want to show you what the Lord has done in Madagascar, what He's doing because of this church, because of you sending us out, because of your support and your prayers. And so I hope you enjoy it, and I'll preach when it's done. I hope you enjoyed that. That was 2017 in about 14 minutes there in Ambuibo. And I wish I could take time tonight to just talk about the people. Every one of those people has a story. Every one of them has a story behind them of God's grace. A lot of those, not everyone, but a lot of those are first generation Christians. They're the first one from their family. And it's taken a little bit of time, but we're starting to see a foundation. We're starting to see families and dads and moms and grandmas and grandpas, and starting to see the Lord just do a wonderful thing. I want to say to the church, thank you. You will never know what it meant to me personally, to my wife, to the Institute, the Bible Institute, to the church, to have Brother Brent Gellis come over. And you paid for his tickets, and God has blessed him with a gift for teaching. God has blessed him with of course, a lot of hard work has gone into that as well for himself. But he really helped us get that Bible Institute off the ground, and he preached our revival a couple times. God really used him in our church service, in our church there, and he and Katie are coming this year. And we hosted our first teen camp that was, by the way, nine of those teenagers there at the first teen camp we ever hosted were from Brother Richard Jertberg's church on the other side of the island. It took them longer to get home from camp than they spent at camp. So the next time you think you have a long bus ride to camp, I think it took them 5 or 6 days to get back. And, all kinds of things. It's a horrible dirt road. It can take 3 or 4 days, whatnot. And so, Brother Brent is coming. He's going to teach another course for us this year, and he's going to be preaching our teen camp. And we tried to work this out from the beginning. It didn't work out last time. And we're trying to have 75 teenagers and campers there, which would about a little over, it would almost double what we had last year. And so we're excited about what the Lord is doing. And I want to say thank you for that and for all just everything that you have done for us. And I hope that the message tonight will be a blessing. It's not necessarily about our ministry in Madagascar, but I would like to maybe tie it in at the end to that. Acts chapter 4 and verse 20 is where we're going to be tonight. Acts chapter 4, and we'll read a couple verses. And so many thoughts, so many things were flooding through my mind. As we had the service and so forth, and we're excited about taking Cherith back with us. Pray for her. We're gonna see how serious Isaiah is. In Madagascar, the family, the groom, he pays a dowry to the bride's father, and he also pays to the brothers. And I really think that Cherith could be worth a lot. And so we're going to see if he's serious. He needs to pay up, and we'll see how that happens, how that goes. But anyways, we're hoping to make it back, Cherith. No, but we're excited about that, so please be in prayer for that. We are excited about having him right there. Let's all stand together, Acts chapter 4 and verse 20. I don't have a title for this. I had a title when I preached it in Madagascar, but my wife didn't like it, so I haven't found one that fitted. I guess it's about being a personal witness. So, Acts chapter 4 and verse number 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that tonight you would please bless our service tonight. And Holy Spirit, I pray you would please use me and help me and fill me to be a blessing to those who have come tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You've probably been there at some point in your life when you had some news and you just had to share it. Whenever we found out we were pregnant, whenever we found out my wife was pregnant with McKenna and expecting her, we were supposed, I think, to wait a little while longer or something to get that news to her parents and my parents, and it just kind of slipped out. It wasn't supposed to happen, and we were supposed to wait, I think, but we were so excited about it, it just came out. And, you know, that's the kind of Christians that we need. It ought not to be that Christians need a prompting to speak about the Lord, to speak about what He's doing in our lives, to be a witness for Him. It ought to be the outflow, the result of what's happening in our lives and what's happening in our hearts ought to just come out. And I'd like to say this. I have knocked doors all over the city where we are. I have knocked probably almost every door in our area, and I go all the time. But you know, also some people, like my neighbors, like some friends and acquaintances, people that we know, still haven't won those to the Lord. And, you know, I really believe that, yes, we need to be soul winners, we need to go, but we need to work at being personal witnesses. We need to work at trying to win and influence those around us. I really believe in this day and age, it's going to get harder and harder to be to knock on doors. And even they were telling us in the new area in Oklahoma City where the church moved to that, you know, no soliciting. And so we still go and we should go. We run the buses and everything. But listen, we are salt and we are light. And that is at work, that's in our neighborhoods, that's in our communities. I told our church, I said, we go soul winning, we preach the gospel, we have all kinds of things, but I want to be known as the church that is involved in our community, in our town. I want them to know that you have a friend, you have someone who can help you, of course, spiritually, and that's a place that can help your family. That's a place where they care about people. That's what we need. And so, and in this passage we see here, he said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Peter and John were entering the temple at the ninth hour to pray. The ninth hour was 3 p.m., the time of the evening sacrifice. And a lame man asked them for money as they were entering the temple. And Peter said, we don't have any money. Silver and gold have I none. He said, but such as I have, give I thee. And he stopped and he looked at the man. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man stood up. Now, can you imagine? We read that, you know, and we sing the song with our kids in family devotion, silver and gold have I none, you know, we sing that. But can you imagine if that were to actually take place outside the doors of Faith Baptist Church? What that would do and the stir it would cause. And of course, people came running and Peter saw a crowd. He started preaching and this grieved the captain and the leaders of the Jewish temple there. And they imprisoned them. They questioned them. They commanded them not to speak anymore in Jesus' name, and then they threatened them. And this was their response. And they said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And it ought not to be that we need a subpoena to speak for Christ. It ought not be that we have to, it's like drawing water out of a deep well to get us to talk about our relationship with Christ, even to other Christians, people we meet, or to witness for Christ. It shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be that we flip a switch on soul winning and all of a sudden it's soul winning time, and I'm for that, so now I'm a witness. And now I'm speaking about Christ. Now I'm sharing my testimony. But when it's done for the week. It shouldn't be like that. It should be that it's flowing out from us. I just want to give you three quick things and we'll be done. Number one, if we are not like this, if this is not true for us, the number one, we are not filled with the Holy Spirit. We are not filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." And that is what happens when a Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit. There is something on the inside. There's not something. There is someone on the inside of us that wants to speak about Jesus. That's what the Bible says. And the Holy Spirit wants to witness. He wants to witness. He wants to speak about Jesus. And He has to do it through us. If we don't have a desire to speak the things that we have seen and heard, then that is a problem. We are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse number 22. We see it here where they said, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth," as soon as the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, as soon as they were filled with the Holy Spirit on that day, then Peter stood up, the first words out of his mouth were, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth." First thing. Look at chapter 4 and verse 10. After the miracle that we just read about, Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole." And the same thing in verse 33 of that same chapter, "With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." So if there's nothing inside of us that just has to speak or that's wanting to speak about Jesus Christ, if there is nothing on the inside of us that wants to get out and give a testimony for Christ or for something about Him, then we are not filled with the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit, what is it? It is not some crazy experience like you may see on TV or see somewhere. It is the result of a constant, conscious surrender to the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. In regard to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians, it is the only repeatable experience in the Christian life. It's the only one. When we were saved, the Holy Spirit baptized us into the body of Christ. When we were saved, the Holy Spirit, He birthed us into the family of God. When we were saved, the Holy Spirit anointed us, according to 1 John chapter 2. And all of those things happened at the moment of salvation, and they were once and for all. He gifted us with gifts for the service of the local church. But this is the repeatable ministry of the Holy Spirit that we are supposed to seek and to experience in our daily lives. It is the only experience that we are supposed to seek as a Christian. You know, in the Institute, in the Institute, one lady wrote a paper, and she wrote, "And above all, we need to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit." Well, that's charismatic influence. And she's saved, but she needs to take one of Brother Brent's classes. But that's not it. This is what people seek experiences. They seek extraordinary things. But this is what we are supposed to seek. By the way, no Christian is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit by accident. It's not going to happen with no effort. If you have a Holy Spirit-filled Christian, it's going to be because they are seeking it, they are thirsting it, they are after it, they are surrendering themselves daily to the Holy Spirit, they are walking in the Spirit. It is a conscious thing. I want the Holy Spirit to fill me today. And by the way, for the Christians who are seeking that, He is still filling Christians. He is still desiring to use us. He is still wanting to speak about Jesus. And that is what our neighborhood needs. That's what our friends need. That's what our neighbors need. That's what our workplaces need. That's what our Sunday school classes need. That's what our bus routes need. That's what we need on soul winning and off of soul winning. That's what our lost family needs. That's what our saved family needs. We need that. Number one, I said, if there is nothing on the inside of you that just has to get out, if you cannot say, that's not true of me, where they said, "We cannot but speak the things which you have seen and heard," and number one, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, and number two, you haven't been with Jesus. He said in chapter number 4, in verse number 13, the Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They didn't say, they took knowledge of them that they had a Bible college degree, or that they had attended church, or that they had met Jesus. Oh, I met Him one time. Yeah, I met Him one time. No, they took knowledge when they heard them speak, when they saw their actions, when they saw this, they said, those men have been with Jesus. So you say, well, you know what, I just, that's just not me. There's just nothing on the inside wanting to get out. I understand we go through seasons in our lives where we have to go soul winning. We go soul winning because we have to go soul winning. We witness because we were supposed to witness. I understand that. But if you, there's just nothing. I just don't have that. You know, I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen anything. Well, where have you been? Where have you been? You haven't been with Jesus. You haven't been in your prayer closet. You haven't been in your Bible in the morning. You haven't been at church lately, because I guarantee you that a Christian who is Spirit-filled and is spending faithful time with Jesus, that is going to show in his life. I tell you what, I wish we could do this. I wish there was a way to put up on a screen tonight, on a graph, how much time all of us in this room spent on social media this week and how much time we spent with the Lord. I wish we could. Or watching sports, or in front of the, or on video games, whatever you want to say, and then we wonder why. Well, I just don't have anything. I just don't have that desire. I just don't feel like that's just nothing in me that just wants to speak about the Lord. I just don't have the desire to talk about Him, to witness, to tell us about Jesus. I just don't have that. Well, why not? We have been on, and this is the me generation. I get tired of it. It's fine, but some people, they have their face in front of their phone their whole lives. Well, here we are again. Here we are again. We're here. And it's one thing after the other. We were on the plane yesterday, and this lady was sitting there, and her husband was on the plane sleeping, and she was on her phone taking a picture to put it on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. And he's sleeping on the plane. You know, I want to say this as nicely as I can. I don't care. We don't care that you're at Starbucks getting a caramel macchiato. We don't care about your... We don't care. And I don't know how people have time to do that. I don't know how they have time. I'm not against social media. My wife has Instagram. We love seeing the pictures that we share with you folks and whatever. And I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about when our lives are dominated by that kind of thing and we don't have time for the most important thing, something's wrong. Something's wrong. These, Peter and John, were not casual observers, casual spectators. They were not part of the 5,000 that were just there and they heard Him speak and they were fed and that was it. They were not part of the ones who were in Jericho and Jesus passed by and left. These were two of the 12 who had decided to follow Jesus, who had picked up and left everything to follow Him, spent time with Him daily and closely for 3.5 years. These were part of the 120 who were gathered there in the upper room and were there to witness Pentecost. Those were the people that could say, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And I'm telling you what, they saw some things and they heard some things, didn't they? And it all started with Jesus. Think about it. In Madagascar, one of the most common occupations is a fisherman. And we have some in our church, at least one in our church. And we see them in Madagascar. They have those little canoes, and they have those nets. And you can see them. You can see them dragging the nets through the water and trying to get the fish. And that was Peter and John, just common men, until Jesus showed up. They saw the 5,000 fed. They saw the storm calmed. They were there when Lazarus came forth bound in grave clothes after being dead for 4 days. They were there the day that 2,000 devils were cast out of one crazy man. They were there on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw Christ glorified. They were there and saw the empty tomb. They were at His ascension. They were there and saw the individual tongues of fire. They were there. They saw 3,000 saved and baptized. No wonder they said, we can't help it. We can't help but speak what we have seen and heard. These men, common men now used of God to be apostles and to write Scripture. And this was the first miracle. Think about that. This was the first miracle ever performed, personal miracle performed by the apostle after Jesus' ascension to heaven. The tongues came at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. But this is the first time that Peter saw in his own life what Jesus talked about in Mark 16 fulfilled, that God could use him in a special way. Do you have a close walk with Christ? Do you have a walk with Him? Are you spending time with the Lord? Are you spending daily time with the Lord? You know, I appreciate people in this church have come to me already last Sunday and this Sunday, look at me in the eyes and say, we pray for you every day. Every day. Are you spending time with the Lord? Number three, I said, first of all, if there is nothing on the inside wanting to speak about the Lord, then you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, you haven't been with Jesus. And number three, you don't know the joy of ministry. You don't know the joy of ministry. Look at verse number six, Acts chapter 4 and verse number 6. And Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Look at verse number 12. Chapter 3 and verse number 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Verse number 12, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though we by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? You know, Peter said, I don't have any money to give you, but I do have something. I've got what the Lord gave me, and I would be happy to share that with you. You know, I was thinking about this today. I can remember as a kid learning about the joy of ministry at this church. I can remember it with my dad before, but then I can remember walking into the gym for the first Sunday we were here. And I can remember sitting in those metal chairs in the front row there, just a couple rows, in the first and second grade boys class, and Mrs. Jessaw taught our class. I can remember you, Brother Seaman, leading the singing in junior church. Yeah, that's right. I can remember Brother Jerry Williams playing his guitar and playing his harmonica at the same time. And I can remember him, he would do something, you remember him, he would jump or something and stop and whatever, and Brother McDonald played the piano just a bunch of kids who loved it. I can remember Captain Obedience for Brother Al Swarty, and I can remember the bouncer too, and back there, Brother Brick. But you know, just a bunch of snot-nosed kids falling out of our chairs, shirts untucked, shoes on the wrong feet, and adults who Sunday after Sunday invested in us. Just kids who grew up and are sitting in these pews and who became missionaries and preachers and assistant pastors and Christian school teachers and servants of God and tithers and workers and who now are raising their kids to be in the same church and ministries around the world. I can remember that. Thank God for those who invested in us. And I can remember learning. I can remember on the bus route, the Bradley bus route. And I can remember every Saturday going to the home. I think it was Collins Home or Square. I can remember that with Brother Mike Johnson. And we would, every Saturday we'd go there and we would pull in and there would be Todd. Todd had his Chicago Cubs hat on. His Chicago Cubs shirt on, and he had his yellow wiffle bat. And he was standing out there. You remember that, Brother Mike? And he was standing out there. And he looked like this. Whack! Right in the ground. Every Saturday, we'd pull in. He'd be out there doing that same thing. We'd go in there. We'd talk to Mickey Camp. We'd go visit him in his room. And he was watching Westerns. He liked to watch Westerns. And then on Sunday, We would go and we would pick up the bus kids and we would stop by there, and Mickey Camp would get on the bus and Todd would get on the bus and Francis would get on the bus, and every week she'd give Benemoth a big hug. And we always loved it when a new bus driver, a fill-in bus driver, was filling in that, you know, he didn't know about Francis. And it came out of the blue. And Diane and her pop and Carrie and we'd pull up to the church, and someone we'd help pick up Mickey Camp and carry him down and put him in the wheelchair and bring him in, and he's in heaven now. And he's not in a wheelchair anymore. Faithful member of this church. The joy of serving people. You see, how many people walked into that temple that day and just bypassed that man who was there every day, probably. But it was the two men who stopped and decided to minister to someone. It was those two that stood up later and said, you know what? We can't help but speak about it. We saw something today. We saw God did something today. It was those men and I. I went to college and was on the bus route there and just began to pour. You pour your life into people, and we went to Madagascar and totally ignorant. We got to Madagascar. We didn't know any. All those people there at the church. We didn't. We started from nothing. We didn't know anybody, but we just started pouring ourselves out into people. And we just started. I have gone into homes and sat on the floor because there was no furniture. I have gone to the young people in our church, and they go to their final exam. It's a big thing, and they have the gym. They have an athletic. They have to meet certain requirements, almost like a track and field type thing. And boys whose dads are dead or whatever, no one to go. And you just try to pour yourself into people and try to win whoever you can. And this last year, we went to camp and took those kids to camp for the first time. You saw the 9-square in the air, the cornhole, spike ball, all those things. They had never, the big balls, they had never seen anything like it. They came to camp, most of them, with everything for the week for 4 or 5 days in one little bag. A lot of them you saw no shoes. No shoes. They had never seen that. We had that time, and one of those boys that was kneeling down and at the altar, that was his uncle who goes to our church, who led him to the Lord that week. We've been praying for him for so long. And he and his sister both got saved that week. We had the bonfire, and man, I tell you what, you just forget about things. And one teen girl stood up, and she's in college. She's in college now, but she stood up and said, you know, my mom and dad got saved, and Pastor Ben came to our house on Thursday nights, and he would have a Bible study with us and with the people in our area, and one night I got saved, and then my brother got, and you know, and you just, memories just start flooding back. You'll have no regrets pouring your life into the lives of others. You won't have to be prompted. Your heart will be so full. It'll keep you going to keep doing it. I remember the Jeff talking in bus meeting one time about wanting to take off his wet shoe and smack a bus kid in the head with it because he was misbehaving, you know. And that's what you feel sometimes. And sometimes you think, is it doing any good? Is there anything happening? Yes, there is. And if you will just keep pouring your life into others, there'll be something wanting to speak about what God is doing through you. And people ask me, are you happy in Madagascar? I am happier there than anywhere else I could be. We are. We love it. Those people in the video, there's a story of grace behind every one of them. So how about us tonight? You know, I'm glad for those of us who go soul. I'm glad for the soul winning. I'm glad for the bus routes. I'm glad for all that. But are you influencing the people around you? Is there something on the inside? I'm not talking about I understand we have times in our Christian lives, but is there something inside ever that says, I got to speak about what I have seen and heard? If there's not, you're not filled with the Spirit. You haven't been with Jesus, and you don't know the joy of serving others. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the service tonight. Thank you for those who have come. Lord, our minds could go back over countless people who poured themselves into us. They gave their time. They were faithful. They served. And they taught us the blessings, Lord, of Spirit-filled Christianity, of Christians with a close walk with Jesus, and who know the joy of serving others. Lord, that's what I grew up with. And that's what I learned at this church. And Lord, help us not to become Christians with nothing to sell. We haven't seen anything. We haven't heard anything. There is nothing on the inside of us that wants to speak about you. Lord, help us if that's us. Help us to not be dead and apathetic Christians. Lord, help us to be salt and light. Help us to influence the people who you have put in our lives and in our paths every day and every week. Help us, Lord, with this. Let's keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. If there would be anybody who tonight would say, I'm not saved, I don't know if I died tonight, I would go to heaven. If that's you, please raise your hand quickly and we will pray for you. The Lord would speak to your heart and that you would get saved. Okay, there's no one here like that. If there's someone who might say, you know what, the message in some way was a blessing or a help or a challenge to me, it was a blessing to me tonight, if you'd raise your hand and testify that, okay, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's all stand, and we will. They'll play the instruments, and if you need to come, you can come to the altar.
When was the last time we told somebody about Jesus? Is there something inside of us that makes it so we have to tell somebody because of all that Christ has done for us? Thank you so much for that, Brother Ben. That was outstanding. What a challenge it is to all of us to continue to go soul winning, or if maybe to be challenged to start going soul winning, to tell even not even in a soul winning setting, just to tell people about Jesus. You know, that should come from a heart that just is so full of what Christ has done for us that we can't help but tell other people. Thank you so much for that. And what a good message that is for us tonight.